Right? Do we ever see Krishna just floating things around? Right? Did he just float Govardhan? He could have floated Govardhan. No, he picked it up. Right? The forest fire is burning. Did he just, you know, make it go away? No, he swallowed it. The demons are coming. He didn't have to touch them, but he does. So the form is a medium for the activities of relationship. So that means you want to carry the rice, it goes in a pot. So you can say, without the pot, you can't carry the rice, but the only reason the pot's there is for the rice. Right? Otherwise, you have like these Paramarthic guru. He was a, you know, stupid gentleman who had disciples even more stupid than him. And one of them is carrying a leaf plate that he has butter in. He was sent, you know, by the guru to go get butter for the offering. So he went and got butter and he has it in the leaf cup. Then he's thinking, because they're philosophers, right? Fools always love to be philosophers. So he's thinking, so what is the basis in this cup of butter? Is it the cup or is it the butter? Right? Because without the cup, the butter cannot be carried. But without the butter, what's the use of the cup? So he's trying to figure out which is most important. So he's thinking, whichever is the basis, whichever the salt, that will be the foundation that will be unmovable, and the other one will be movable. So the cup is like this, and the butter is held. But now I can really test if I turn it upside down. Then I can see which is actually the basis. So he turns it upside down. So what happens? The butter falls out. So now he'll think it's the cup. This is called fool. So the whole point is form is there because it carries relationship. It has no other purpose. So if by the form the relationship is destroyed or hampered, it's not useful. But at the same time is form must be followed. It's not that I don't follow that and then leave it with nothing. No, you have to use your brain. That's what's called clever. Smart means you can connect things or make something. Clever means you can apply that smart and make something happen with it. So Krishna is clever. Right? The feminine energy likes cleverness. Smart's nice, clever's better. Because something gets done. Relationship is established. It's nourished. It's enhanced. So here we see is that Daksha is getting done what he wants at the expense of his relationship with his family. And everybody there. No one wants to not worship Shiva. But they're dependent upon him and then they're going to get thrown out. And you know, they have families to take care of, blah, blah. So, whatever. So then there's a problem. So it's not the right way to deal with it. Right? The right way to deal with it is you know, pull Shiva on the side, say, hey, I'm the father-in-law and I have this program here, and you know, couldn't you dress a little better, like some casuals or something like that? Hey, this is a high-class neighborhood. So like this, he could have tried that. Maybe Shiva wouldn't have agreed. His snakes would have hissed at him or something like that. But whatever it is, he didn't try this. It's just things he doesn't like, and so just because he's a big man, and therefore then he just moves it to the side, and it didn't work. You understand? So it's not that one doesn't endeavor, it's not that one doesn't get something done. It's that in getting it done, it has to take into consideration everything. That's why the Vedic version is presented, because the Vedic version presents everything. We don't like it. Right? You know, they say, you know, take example, okay, Vedic is, you know, recommends more modesty in a woman's dress. The modern woman thinks, why, I have to be modest, it's my body, I do whatever I want, this, that, blah. Yeah, so then she's not modest, then she gets raped. And then the problem is, you know, why are the rapist? Rapist is wrong. But the Vedic concept takes into consideration why go through all the problem, going to the police, going to the courts, proving that you're right, going to the magazines, have it blown out and completely your life made a mess out of because you couldn't dress nicely. So what does it matter? On the street, what does it matter? What do you care about people on the street? Right? What about people that matter, they have some substance, some relationship with? Of course, if you don't have any, then there are people on the street. So at least that's better than an empty house. But the Vedic recommends that one has close relationships. You understand? It's thinking of this bigger picture. But the narrow-minded materialist can't understand this. So therefore, materialists like Daksha here, he can't understand sacrifices for Vishnu. You can only please Vishnu if you please all living entities. Shiva happens to be one of the living entities. So at least just based on that, he should be taking care of Shiva. But he can't do that. So therefore, his sacrifice will fail. Because he can't see the bigger picture. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You're speaking that spiritual exaltation will manifest itself in deep varieties of relationship. But often in spiritual life, we see people withdraw from relationships. The Shastra is full of such people who do this, like, you know, almost all stories end, and the king went into the forest. You know.
Okay. I understand the gist. I mean, is that your point, or is? In other words, if that's the point, you don't need to explain more.
Okay.
If there's something else, then go on. Okay. What is relationship? That's the point. What is relationship? You're saying relationships, but we're saying there's a principle of relationship. So that principle of relationship means our connection with Krishna. Because let us say one has a family. Like you're giving the example, the king withdrew to the forest. Now when he withdraws to the forest, much of the time the family goes with him. But even if it doesn't, the principle of. So he withdraws to the forest. But now what was it in the wife? What was it in that dead matter that we would, you know, call the wife, that was the wifeness? Why did that dead matter, made out of the same elements, let's say, as a pot, manifest as wifeness? Why? Where did that come from? If we think it comes from the matter, then we think we're losing relationships. If we understand it doesn't come from matter, it comes from Krishna. Krishna empowers that dead matter to act as a wife. Right? Because why is it that the women in a married state act as wife? Right? You know, why not your, you know, sofa? It also has much of the same elements. But it doesn't, because it's not empowered. That's the whole point of the universal form. The primary creation is everything that there is that would be within the realm of human involvement. So in that, then all relationships, all situations, all elements of influence on those situations and everything, that's all Krishna, because it's all just dead matter. And so Krishna has to empower. It's not like in the spiritual world, where those are the natural forms of expression of love for Krishna, through all these varieties of ways. So here, it's actually dead matter, and it has to be empowered by Krishna. So the point is you're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna. That's the whole point. Then you can have an eternal relationship with all the other living entities. But until that's established, then the relationship with the other living entities isn't so strong if you're seeing it on the material platform. If you're seeing it on the spiritual, of course, then that's there. But that means it's connected to Krishna. So here is one is pulling out from the material concept of what you think is the relationship and drawing it back to what actually is the relationship, your relationship with Krishna. So that's why you see men do this, because men go material, withdraw into spiritual, then go into devotional. That's the process they use, because it's based on intelligence. That's their field. Women don't need to do that. That's why it's not meant, they don't need to go to the forest, because women don't withdraw from material into spiritual. They withdraw from material into devotional. They go from rasa to rasa. Men go from material rasa to tattva to spiritual rasa. It's just the method that they use. Is they intellectualize. Women don't intellectualize. It's nice, they do it. It's not nice, they don't do it. So therefore, we see the men. So it's not that they're withdrawing from, they're actually establishing their relationship with Krishna and seeing Krishna in everything. So it's not even that he removes from the wife, because that what was necessary, that was there in the wife. He has that gratefulness for that. If there's repulsion and that's why he's going to the forest, then he's only negatively dealt with the material relationship, and don't worry, he'll be back. You know? But if it's on the spiritual platform, if by pulling out from the material and at the same time connecting to the spiritual relationship, then it will work. Otherwise, you can just remove from the material and stay in the spiritual, but not in Kali Yuga. The other ages, people had the qualities to do that. You know, they were just good. So they could do that, just remain their life just absorbed in, you know, Brahman or something like that. But in Kali Yuga, then the need for taste is too, so that one doesn't have those kind of things, which is a benediction in that one will automatically go for some taste. So if one is given that taste in Krishna consciousness, one will go for that. Does this make sense? So what the Vedas are talking about is establishing a relationship, but what's happening is that this man has a relationship with a wife, but that's all it is. But the point is he could have a relationship with God and therefore have a relationship with everything. But instead, he gives up having a relationship with everything just to have a relationship with his wife. So that's the problem. So the Vedas, that's why they're describing that from the earliest stage possible, one is already connecting all that with Krishna. So he could be doing that as a grihastha. Then that being within that situation or out of that situation won't seem as artificial. It'll be a natural. But the other is because we put so much on the external. Therefore, because if I'm around the external of wife, then I will always think material relationship. Therefore, one separates from wife to understand that the wife actually is representing Krishna. Right? So one can do that before, it looks more smooth. If it's not be able to do before, at least it's set up that at least externally it's affected. And then in that state, away from there, then one starts to see the difference. Because it should be the element of sannyas. That means the mentality of sannyas, meaning doing something for Krishna's benefit, not desiring anything for myself. That's sannyas. Renunciation, it's mine, I give it up. It's my wife, I give it up. That's renunciation. It's Krishna's, this living entity is Krishna's. She's in the form of a female. She happens to be playing the role of wife, happens to be that person's wife. And so, but it's still Krishna's. But so the wife was always for Krishna. But now you're trying to broaden that understanding of Krishna beyond just the wifeness. So that's sannyas. So that means, as far as mentality, any order can be sannyas. But at least by the end of life, if one hasn't done it in the earlier orders, at least it should be affected. Start with the externals, at least, in the end of life. Because if one's away from it, it becomes easier. Plus, when one gets older, one kind of like loses that fire to, you know, be big in the world and all that.
Maharaj, how should we deal with envy?
How should we deal with envy? What are we envious of? That's the thing to see. What is it that is driving us to that envy? Because the thing, we will take it as some form. But actually it's something more. As we said before, it's whatever is there. Anything that we take as a value is Krishna. So let's say someone else has position or power. So it's the power that one wants. Right? It's not specifically the position. The position carries power. Let's say a temple president. So he's the temple. Why he should be temple president? I've been here longer. You know, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. And I'm like this, like that. So why he should be. But the point is that the power doesn't come from the temple president. You know what I'm saying? Even you're in that position, it's empowered through the parampara. Right? That's there. Krishna is given the principle of management is coming from Krishna. And Prabhupada gave the system of GBC temple president, so therefore it has that power. So it's power one's looking for. But the point is power is one of Krishna's energies. It's unlimited. So you want power, you don't have to take it away from this person to get it. It's not that's the only power in the whole place. So in other words, be intelligent. At least you convert the envy to jealousy. Because, okay, he's a temple president. I can also be a temple president. I'll go out and open my own temple, or there's this other temple that needs to... We have 400 temples. I'll bet you many of them are looking for presidents. So it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? But you have to be able to convert it into something useful. Envy's useless. But it's not that you can't start from the position of envy and analyze it, engage it, and connect it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The envy can't be connected, but the position of being envious, you can start from there and see what are the elements of substance. Right? So one has a need for, one has a condition, nature of working in environments of power, exercising power, so one's attracted by that power. But, so therefore, Krishna's all powerful, there's plenty of power to go around. But find it in an, you know, where it's actually will be of value, you know. So we have 400 temples, open another 401. You know what I'm saying? Then it expands, or another temple that needs it, and you take advantage there. Or give support there. You know so much, give support, he'll do the job. He does all the hard work. You don't have to, you know, so you have to find what it works. Does that make sense?
Till the time we don't work on our consciousness to get it from envy to jealousy, should we continue our interaction with that form, or should we stop it?
Okay. One has to be careful, but the point is why leave it? You know what I'm saying? It says, Chanakya says, fire, disease, and debt one should not leave. You know, so envy is a disease. It's what got us here. The living entity is in a diseased condition being here. So why leave it? Deal with it. If you know that that's what's there, deal with it. If it will make it easier to deal, to avoid the form that makes you envious, yes, do that. But understand it's a temporary aspect. Why are you envious? Because it's in connection with your nature. Right? But the nature has become contaminated to such a degree that it becomes useless. So one has to purify the nature. So the basis of the envy is not the problem. It's the envy itself. Right? So if you're envious of the other person, okay, stay out of the way, do something else, you know, go, you know, cook halva, do something, whatever it is. But until you can get a grasp on it, and then you try to deal with it. Because the point is that it's your nature. So you have to work in that area. It's temporary. You know, just like the brahmachari pulls out of society for some time until he can properly deal with society. Right? In other words, one has one's habit. And so if one has a bad habit, you pull yourself out of that environment where that bad habit is manifest. But once one is strong enough, then there is no bad habit anymore. Right? So then you can go back into that same environment and deal. Right? Of course, one is wary, you know, but, you know, because these are enemies, you know, lust, greed, envy, attachment, like this, illusion. But one has to be intelligent. That's why this process is called buddhi yoga, right? Is that based on intelligence and an intelligent situation, then we try to cultivate that sentiments towards Krishna and the devotees. Otherwise, if it's without intelligence, it's just sentiment, and only sentiment can be changed. Right? And Krishna's looking for steady devotional service. So steady means that it's intelligent. Right? Radharani's intelligent. Mother Yashoda's intelligent. They're not fools. Right? But that's not the basis of their relationship, intelligence. It's the rasa. That's the basis. But it's not that if you, you know, caught Mother Yashoda, you know, broke the fourth wall there and asked her about, you know, what's going on here in this whole relationship with Krishna. Not that she couldn't explain it. It's just that, why bother? The relationship's going so nicely. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like that. The mother's interacting with the child. Right? And she's saying this and that and, you know, shaking the child and patting it, making different sounds like that. Now, it's not that you couldn't stop her and ask her, why is she doing that? right? You know, because kids are restless, so if you move them, then they feel peaceful. You make noises, they know you're there. You distract them, something is going to make them upset. They can explain all that. It's a science. Right? But it's not that they think that's science when they're interacting. It's just you know it, you're based on the relationship, because it's spontaneous. You don't know, it's not spontaneous, then you act on the science. But with time, it will become spontaneous. Right? Right, the manager, he gets this book and he reads, okay, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. And then he'll try to do it and it'll be a little stiff. But he does it for long enough and then he naturally, spontaneously is able to manage. But if you ask him, he can explain what's going on. You know, if not a whole analysis, at least the essence.
Thank you so much for explaining on the envy. I had one doubt. Like right from Indra, we see that whenever somebody is doing an Ashwamedha Yajna, he comes and steals the horse. So in the same way, out here we see that if someone is in a position of power due to jealousy, envy, probably he tries to manipulate people under him, prevent them from growing up or things like that. So you explain from the perspective of the person who is envious, who is below, who is envious, that he should try to find another source of power, some other place or even in the same place. But how does the person who is in a position of power, who's envious of those below him growing, how should he tackle his scenario?
It's the same principle. Is that why would he be envious of them? Because he's thinking that it somehow detracts from his power. But as we said, the power is unlimited. So he can go on doing his service and others there can grow unlimitedly. Right? There's unlimited gopis. Right? And they all have service. There's one Krishna, they all have service. And it's ever expanding, so it's not a problem. So someone's doing this and that, then that means you can go on and think of better things. Right? Like Prabhupada, when one devotee would be like this, envious of another devotee or jealous of another devotee, he's a temple president, he this, he's that, he's making this mistake, that mistake, Prabhupada would go, fine, okay, you be the temple president. He would take the temple president they're complaining about and give him a bigger service. You know what I'm saying? Because it's unlimited that you can expand. You know, you have one temple. Yeah, how many departments are there? It's like here, Mayapur is like 40 departments. Each department is as big or bigger than a Mahalarge temple. And how many Mahalarge temples we have in this movement? Right? But every department here is a Mahalarge temple. Pujaris, there's over 40 pujaris. Right? You have in the West a temple with 40 devotees, temple president is going nuts. Here it's just a department. You understand? So it can go on and on and on. There's more things that can be done, right? We're building a temple, we're building a city, there's plenty to do. So the point is if others are trying to move up, you move up farther. Right? In other words, if they're able to do the small things that you do, now you can do bigger things. Right? This was what you would see, what was special about those who Prabhupada trained as managers, is they could unlimitedly just move forward and let others come up. Because it's unknown, it's unlimited. Now it's thought there's this much power in the movement, and so you have to fight over it. Does that make sense? Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Janyatai Gaura Premanandi.